Our scripture lesson, as we've already said today, is the story of Thomas and what happened on Easter evening. If you have your Bibles with you today, I would encourage you to turn to John chapter 20. We're picking up exactly where we left off last week. As we left off last week, Mary runs to the disciples and she says, "I have seen the Lord," right? And so we pick it up there. It's Easter evening, and John records these words. Listen. "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house," listen to this, friends, "where the disciples had met, they weren't meeting, they were afraid, were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe.' So a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' And then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.'" And then John gives us the last two verses when he says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his book. But these are written so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the children of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the story of Thomas, where it reminds us that we are more than a moment in time. Thomas is not just a doubter. He's a disciple. He's a follower. He's a leader. We're more than one moment, too. So I pray, Lord, today that you would communicate that either through me or in spite of me. May these words be your words. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm wondering this morning what your life would be like if you were known for just one thing. One moment, one instant. Can you think about that for just a moment? If you were known for one moment in time, which moment would you want to be known for? Which one would you want to remember? Now, I know what you're doing right now. You're reliving glory moments in your head. You're thinking about all those great moments, and you're thinking, oh, it's hard to pick just one. I asked this question in our staff meeting the other day, and I got blank stares. That's when I realized this is a question you got to think about. It's not one that you just pop up on a Sunday morning and figure all that out. Maybe you're trying to narrow it down. What would it be? Perhaps it was the day that you proposed. And there was an acceptance, and she said yes. Maybe that's the day. It's a memorable day, right? or maybe a wedding day, or maybe it was your short-lived athletic career, right? The walk-off hit, the basket at the buzzer, the tee shot, the hole-in-one, the Hail Mary that won the football game, right? Now, while you're thinking about all those great moments, I need to tell you something. It's bad news, really. It's bad news, but I need to tell you. If you're going to participate in this morning, you need to know you don't get to choose the moment. Moments like this generally choose us. May I share an example? When I was in the 9th grade, I want to go ahead and say this. Are y'all with me? I was better at English and history than math and science. In the 9th grade, two of my good friends were Kenny Hartley and Tom Corley. Tom is now the chief of the police for Jackson, the city of Jackson, Tennessee. And Kenny is a motivational speaker and pastor. And so we were coming out of Miss Coleman's class. Miss Coleman taught us biology, and Kenny asked the question, "How'd you do on that test?" I should have said, "Not very good," or I should have said, "I'd rather not say," but instead, I gave him the number. Are y'all ready? Don't think lowly of me. 49. Not out of 50, 49 out of 100. My friends, I'm glad they were my friends, laughed at me. And to this day, Kenny still calls me by that nickname, 49. 49. I've never been to a high school reunion for a number of reasons. 49 is one of them. I don't want to be remembered for that. A year or so ago, Kenny sent me a picture on Facebook. He was eating at a restaurant. You know, one of those restaurants where you go and they bring the food to you and they have a little thing on your table and you put your number where the waitress can see it to bring your food to your table. Kenny was eating out. You want to guess what number they gave him? 49. And he wrote, "When you're getting something to eat and you're reminded of an old high school friend." Well, that was nice, right? We graduated in 1986, 39 years ago. So it's been more than 40 years ago since that moment in time. I would never choose it. Somehow, it chose me. What would I like to be remembered for? That's a really great question. Maybe it was that day in Paragould, Arkansas. We spent 6 years as pastor at First United Methodist Church, and while we were there, we decided to add on to our building. We had an old four-story building, kind of a dangerous building. If there was ever a fire, we prayed there would never be a fire, and there wasn't. So we wanted to bring all of our kids down on the ground level. And so we renovated one space and made it an education building. And we added a worship center, and we added a fellowship hall. And on one of my last events at that church, they named the new worship center for me, the John Fleming Worship Center. I know why they did it. I was leaving. They didn't know what to get me, so they gave me a building, I guess. I don't know. But not even that's the moment I want to remember about me in that church, because 3 years later, the first wedding in that building, in that worship center, I did it. My daughter Annie Grace and Garrett. So here's the deal. You don't always get to choose that special moment in time. Are y'all with me today? Just ask Thomas and he will testify. The disciples are known for a lot of different things. We know Judas because of his betrayal of Jesus. We know James and John because they asked for special places of leadership. We know Peter because of his denial. And we know Thomas because of his doubt, right? John is the only gospel writer who mentions him. But if you go back a couple of chapters, Jesus gets word that his good friend Lazarus is ill, gravely ill, and he's invited to come. And the disciples say, it's dangerous to go to Bethany. It's so close to Jerusalem. There are people seeking to kill you. And you know what Thomas said? Thomas said, let us also go that we might die with him. Same guy, same Thomas. But what we remember is that moment of his doubt. John's gospel records for us what happened on that first Easter evening. 10 of the 12 disciples were there. This comes in two scenes. Judas is gone, and in the second scene, Thomas is there, but he's not there in the first one. So let's take a little closer look. As you will remember, we pick up where we left off. Mary has just run to the disciples, and she has says, I have seen the Lord. So far, she's the only one. It's evening now, Easter evening. John tells us that his disciples were in the house behind locked doors and that they were afraid. They had been meeting. They are not meeting. They are afraid of the Jews. There's a lot that they've had to take in a short period of time, right? I mean, just a lot. And that's when Jesus walks in through that locked door. He comes in despite their fear. He comes in despite that locked door. And the first words out of his mouth are these four words: peace be with you. Peace be with you. In fact, our lesson has 12 verses, and three times Jesus says those four words: peace be with you. Y'all have heard me preach for almost a year now, right? What happens when angels show up? What's the first thing that an angel says? Do not be afraid. Now, it seems that when Jesus shows up after the resurrection, his first words are, peace be with you. But then he adds to it. He combines what I think is the Great Commission part of the Scripture. In Matthew 28, 16 through 20, Jesus sends his disciples out into the world. Look what he does here. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you out into the world. And he also gives us a moment of Pentecost. Now, Acts has the loud, boisterous one, but John has the quiet one. He breathes on the disciples, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. You have the power to forgive or the power to hold on to it if you need to, I guess. Now, what John tells us next is that Thomas wasn't there. I've always wondered, choir, where's Thomas? Where's Thomas? Had a preacher friend of mine once say, well, maybe he went out to get a pizza. I mean, maybe they haven't eaten since Thursday. I don't know. I don't buy that. I don't like that. Here's what I think. I think Thomas needed some air. Has that ever happened to you? Something seemed heavy. Something seemed sorrowful, overwhelming. And so you just need to get out. Get out of the room. Get out of the house. Go for a walk. Get a little perspective. Do any of you ever do that? Yeah. Am I the only one? I love to do that. When he comes back to the room where the disciples were, the disciples meet him and say, oh, Thomas, you missed it. Jesus was just here. You missed it. It's amazing what he said. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and he told us to go out into the world. It was an amazing moment. And I wish Thomas had said, oh, that always happens to me. What did he say? What did he look like? Is he okay? But that's not what Thomas says, friends. You remember what he says? He says, I don't believe you. In essence, he says, I don't believe you. Unless I see him for myself, I will not believe him. You know my Thomas joke here. He was from Missouri, the show me state. That's the first Easter evening. A week later, Jesus returns to the same room, walks through the same door, says the same four words, peace be with you. And he turns to Thomas, and he says to Thomas, touch the nail marks in my hand. Touch my side. Do not doubt, but believe. I want to say this. I've preached this text dozens of times. If you're a lectionary preacher, which means particular scriptures that are suggested for preachers to consider in a three-year cycle, I don't do that much anymore, but I always preach Thomas on the Sunday after Easter. Let me tell you, I think there are about six sermons in here. Are y'all ready for all six tonight? Maybe just one. There's the sending out, right? Go out into the world. There's receiving of the Holy Spirit. There is the sermon on peace. Peace be with you. There's a word about doubt, and there's a word about faith, and there was a word about belief. All those sermons. But I thought about it a lot this week, and I remembered that in John 21, Jesus appears on a seashore, on a beach, with fish over a charcoal fire. And he comes to the disciples who see him there, and he comes for Peter. Peter, you remember, denied him three times. And on that beach, Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me more than these? And Peter, of course, says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He says, feed my sheep. The third time he comes to that, he says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, to tend his lambs. I like to think that Jesus came back for Peter at that moment to redeem his denials, right? Now, are you with me? I think that he came back a week later to redeem Thomas's doubt. Does that make sense? I think he did. I think he wanted to say to Thomas, you are more than your doubt, Thomas. You are much more than your doubt. I want to say to you today, you're more than a bad grade. I'm living proof, right? We are more than an embarrassing moment. We are more than a bad decision. We are more than a moment of doubt. We are more, and we are redeemed. Amen?
Amen.
Ultimately, what matters the most is not how Kenny Hartley and Tom Corley see me. What matters the most to me is how God sees me. Amen? We are more than one moment in time. A time and a moment that we wouldn't get to choose. Our lives are a combination. And that is who we are. And that is who God loves. So you are more, my friends. And you are redeemed. Thanks be to God. Amen.